Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude. And before we get into this episode brought to you by the Sports History Network, I wanted to tell you about another book giveaway that we have on the website. Our friend of the network, Timothy J. Brown, is giving away 5 copies of his latest book. This book is titled Hut Hut Hike, A History of Football Terminology. This book explores the history of football terminology by examining when and why more than 400 familiar words and expressions entered the game. By linking the game's evolution to changes in its language, readers learn the origins of first string, basic fundamentals, X's and O's, long snapper, and hundreds more of terms used in every football conversation or broadcast. Organized in easy-to-read, bite-sized chunks and filled with period images and illustrations, Hut Hut Hike tells football's history one word at a time. Now, to sign up for a chance to win your copy of the book, head to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear. Hello, my football friends, and welcome to the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch podcast. This is Darren Hayes, your host. In this episode, we will be recapping all of the events, anniversaries, and birthdays associated with the game of American football for September 4th. Let's get right at it now. September 4th, 1927, the New York Yankees football franchise joins the NFL. And if you go to our website, pigskindispatch.com, and take a peek at the September 4th post, you'll see the fantastic graphic that our friends Bill Schaefer and Tim Brulia at the gridironuniforms.com website has graciously let us display. The graphic shows what these 1927 Yankees would have worn on game days. The research on the Yanks, too, comes from Larry Schmidt at gridironuniforms.com. Be sure to check out the great research and display of uniforms that covers most of the teams that have ever played the game professionally at gridironuniforms.com. The origins of this very first New York Yankees pro football franchise, and there were several who used the name, predates their NFL entry by 1 year. The Yankees were the brainchild of Charles C.C. Pyle, whose original intent was to be a member of the NFL. C.C. Pyle had the controlling rights of Red Grange's contract and decided to try and mimic the success that the Chicago Bears had had on their barnstorming tour in the early 1926 season, and figured that Grange would be a crowd magnet for a Yankees tour. Pyle attempted to join the NFL, but he was thwarted by Commissioner Joe Carr, who said the New York Football Giants had exclusive territorial rights to New York. This precedent was established during the 1925 season in a dispute between the Pottsville Maroons and the Frankfurt Yellow Jackets in regards to an exhibition contest between the Maroons and a Notre Dame alumni all-star team, which led to the Pottsville franchise being suspended and the Chicago Cardinals being crowned the NFL champions for 1925. Pyle, who had already leased Yankee Stadium for 1926, then brashly started up his own league, which was the first of 4 to be known as the American Football League, and perhaps out of spite, established a second franchise in New York, the Brooklyn Horsemen. The NFL responded by issuing a franchise charter of their own for Brooklyn, the Lions, and managed to wrestle the lease for Ebbets Field, relegating the Horsemen to the inferior Commercial Park. The first AFL was a disaster for all involved. 4 franchises in a city that barely supported one in 1925? Was 3 too many? The Horsemen and the Lions merged mid-season, and the Yankees, despite the drawing power of Grange, had difficulty drawing large crowds on the road, and several franchises dropped out prior to the scheduled conclusion. In a postseason exhibition at Yankee Stadium, the NFL's 5th-place Giants team humbled the AFL champion Philadelphia Quakers 31-0. Shortly afterward, this first edition of the AFL officially closed. The Yankees franchise, with Grange, was admitted to the NFL for the 1927 season, with the stipulation that their home contest did not conflict with the Giants. Often in game programs, they were referred to as in 1927 as Red Grange's Yankees for the public relations power that Grange's star power held. The 27 Yankees featured Grange at halfback, quarterback Wild Bill Kelly from Montana, and former Penn State star guard August Mahalski. The 1927 Yankees were a competitive team with a winning record for most of the season. Ironically, Grange injured his knee during a home victory over his former team, the Bears, which caused him to miss several games. He was in the lineup for a home-and-home series against the Giants to close out the season, which their rivals from the Polo Grounds swept on their way to the NFL title. Grange played in 118 of a possible 120 minutes on poor fields in those two Giant contests. The first game was played in the snow, and the second in a torrential downpour that reduced the field to a muddy quagmire. Red Grange ended up sitting out the 1928 season to rehabilitate that knee, and without the star to attract fans, the Yankees struggled and ended up folding for good after the season ended. Grange returned to Chicago in 1929, where he played until his retirement in 1933. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, to not only see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskin Dispatch is in the social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Pigskin Dispatch is also happy to be associated with the Sports History Network, the sports headquarters of yesteryear, found at sportshistorynetwork.com. Now let's get back to the action. September 4th, 1993, Penn State University plays its very first football game as a member of the Big Ten Conference. The Nittany Lions quarterback Joe Sacca threw for four touchdown passes to wide receiver Bobby Engram as PSU won the game 38-20 over the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Then, next year, 1994, the Miami Dolphins quarterback Dan Marino on September 4th guided the Finns to a 39-35 victory against rival New England with the help of five touchdown tosses. This was a career record 18th game for Marino of throwing four or more touchdowns in one game. Then a decade later in 2006, in the Canadian Football League, the Toronto Argonauts quarterback Damon Allen surpasses former CFL-NFL quarterback Warren Moon as Pro Football's all-time leading passer as he reaches over 70,000 career passing yards. Toronto won the game over Hamilton 40-6 as Allen tossed for 207 yards and two touchdowns in the game. Then in 2018, the Nike Corporation named NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick as the face of Nike's 30th anniversary advertising campaign. It's time to go to our birthday segments for the legends and the Hall of Famers who have birthdays on this day, September 4th. September 4th, 1874, Clint Wyckoff was a former Cornell University quarterback. In 1970, the College Football Hall of Fame enshrined the legendary quarterback into their museum. He was the very first consensus All-American in history that did not attend Penn, Princeton, or Yale. He took over captaining the team by succeeding the legendary Pop Warner as a player. September 4th, 1894, Bart McComber. He was a quarterback halfback that played for the University of Illinois from 1914 through 1916. After college, he went pro, playing for the Canton Bulldogs and the Youngstown Patricians. He later went on to coach in the Pacific Coast League in 1926 for the Oakland Oaks. The College Football Hall of Fame enshrined him in 1972. Again, we want to end our show today, but we want to thank the guys at the Uniform Graphics Database, uniformgraphics.com. Check them out. Check them out at their work on pigskindispatch.com for the September 4th article. And we will see you tomorrow. Here, roll the credits. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff for letting us use their music during our podcast. That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history, but as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know that. Can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you gotta do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You can be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you gotta do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.